planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the worker slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, "Sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from?" "An enemy has done this," the farmer exclaimed. "Should we pull out the weeds?" they asked. "No," he replied. "You'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then will I tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles, and burn them, and to put the wheat in the barn." May God bless and cheer the reading of his word. Father God, we just thank you so very much, Lord God, for the opportunity, Lord God, to be before your people, amongst your people, Lord God, and share, Lord God, what you have given us, Lord God, to share. We ask you, Lord God, as you increase, allow me to decrease, Lord God. And anything, Lord God, that is not like you, we ask you to remove it, Lord God. We pray over the holy congregation as they open their hearts and minds, Lord God, that they can receive what you are having for them on today, Lord God. And all these blessings, we ask your son, Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. Amen. Please be seated. Pleasant and good morning to you all. I'm one of those who caught this bug, but I'm excited because I did not miss a day of work. I was excited to go to work, and I definitely wasn't going to not come to church because I had a little bit of stuffiness in my head. As long as my nose is running, I'm not running, I'm good. And so I do, one thing I do like about having a cold is got a little Barry White going on, so that's pretty nice. You can always find a good thing about that. And so I absolutely love, as I was growing up, I absolutely love testimony service. And I always love to hear the great news of what God is doing. And I watch the news today, and I'm not a fan of what I hear every time, but it's important for us to watch the news. Can you say amen? Yeah. Amen? And so I'm always watching the news so that I can hear the testimony in the bad things, if you can understand what I'm saying. So it's very important to me as I was watching the news in January or the earlier this month when 2025 came in, California was all ablaze. Lower California, am I right? Amen. And I was like, man, so devastated. I was amazed. And then on the East Coast, down south, close to where I live, there was snow. And I'm like, man, I am amazed because I remember when I was in boot camp, Eric, somebody said, does anybody want to shovel this snow? Because it started snowing in Chicago. Never saw snow ever in my life. So I'm like, I raised my hand, and it was amazing to me, Pastor, that everybody from Texas all raised their hand to shovel this snow. Nobody else was like, yeah, that's work, and I'm not interested. But we were shoveling, happy as a clam, shoveling that snow, free labor, because we had never had snow before. So I thank God for dropping a little on them over down south so they can experience snow. Because if you've never got out of your hometown and if it's never had that type of weather, I saw them snowboarding. I'm like, where'd they get the snowboards from in Texas? It wasn't snowing nowhere, but they had them. They were sliding down the hill, not skillful, but they were sliding down the hill, and it was beautiful. Now, for the fires, devastating. There was a lot of people that lost their homes. Lots of insurance was canceled on those who had homes and stuff. Terrible thing. But one of the things that I did hear great news of, LaFaro, is that there was a man who had a bike shop. And his bike shop burned down. And what did the community do? The community donated bikes to this man. They donated bike stands to this man so that he could continue to operate wherever he was going to operate. And I was like, that is community. That is beautiful. Amongst all the turmoil, amongst all the devastation, amongst all the trials that was going on, people tried to relocate and find their homes, there was a community that was still there wanting to help in some kind of way. And I want to encourage you, if you hear nothing else today, is that is us, that we are a community, that when you hear bad news or that you find yourself in a trial, that you don't mind asking for help. And if you hear about it, come looking for something that you can do to help that person out of, because you never know when that could be you. Another thing I wanted to talk about real quick, some good news, and I love these testimonies, is I got a phone call from my elder Robert, my brother, and he was telling me that he had this incident on his job where one of the brothers that he was not right, that was off, he was a little off, and you've seen that. You notice people that are not the normal, right? And he began to share his heart with Robert, and Robert's like, this is an emergency state. He was struggling, and he was dealing with some problems, so he would turn to alcohol, and not knowing how long he had been on using alcohol to fill that void or to try to fix this problem that he had, he came to Robert and he shared his heart, and Robert was able to get him help. The man, I heard that his wife came and picked him up, and he was able to go to HR, and Elder Robert is at HR crying because, he really had a concern for this life, as we should be, as we see people in our lives and in our surroundings and stuff. And I think it's not strange that Robert, being on his job, strategically placed where he's working so that he can affect that life. And his life will never be the same. You understand what I'm saying? And the last thing, and I thank you, Elder Robert, for being available to God, to be moved by it. I know it could be scary for some of you guys to be able to reach out people and ask that question, because the world would tell us what? Stay out of my business. But man, if we would just get into somebody's business, get kicked out, you know what I mean? But at least they know you care. But get kicked out of somebody's business. That's so very important. And the last thing is that I was, as you guys know, last year with Pastor Linda, she had went through some temporary blindness in her eyes. And I was just watching how they moved, because that was such a great example that she could come up here, not see the steps, but she was still determined to do God's will and preach those sermons, and she was able to do the things that she did. And I know that it was a scary time for her, and I so appreciated her walking that out in front of us. What a great example, you know what I mean? And then I just watched her, that this chick was looking fly. Every Sunday, Wednesday night, she was looking pretty good, right? And then I remember her saying it, she made a mention of it, about how Apostle David would come and help her with her wardrobe, help her with her makeup, help her with her hair. And it didn't click, Devontae, it didn't really click in my head, because I was like, oh, that's cool. Maybe laid out some things. But when I was like, she is looking good. So every Sunday morning we get the chance to pray, and I'm looking over my parents. You know what I mean? I'm checking them out. They always look fly. And then I thought about it. We had a gathering with men. I get some mentorship for some great men on Wednesday. And he had made a mention that people didn't know how hard it was. You know what I mean? There was a lot of missed phone calls or texts that he couldn't get back to because he had to deal with priority ministry, number one. There were some people that he wanted to have lunch with and wasn't able to get there because he had to make sure that she was at her appointments, make sure that, things had to be on the back burner. So he wanted to make sure that even though we are in this season, temporary season, that I got to do what I got to do and make sure that she is not falling behind or nothing to be left unattended. And Apostle, I'll give you grace. I'll give you honor for that, because it was a great example. And I don't know if anybody's like me, but when I think about my wife, Amber, she's a makeup artist herself. So I was thinking about if she would have some temporary blindness, God forbid, what would I do to make sure that she was, it was seamless, and that when she came to the church that Corey wouldn't be looking at her kind of funny. Like, she's looking like the it clown. Now, I think I'm pretty good, and I wouldn't have that, and I was thinking to myself, I really like her freckles. I don't know if you knew that. She's got freckles, and I really appreciate that, but I was like, maybe if I just let her do the freckles, put a little lipstick on, we'd be good. I went to beauty school, so I'm not worried about the hair, and I'm not very good at the wardrobe. I get help with the wardrobe, so I was like, man, it's going to be tough, but I would rise to the occasion because I had some great examples. Good man. Thank you, Apostle. So, in this scripture, I wanted to talk to you, and I really also, one more thing, I said I wasn't going to do anymore, but I've been in the back in the class with the teenagers, and we had a good Bible study, like, every Sunday, and I really appreciate those who go back there and teach our kids and make sure, but these kids blessed me, and they caused me to study more, They caused me because they asked the right questions. And I love the way they ask why. You know, the why is very important. Why is God doing this thing? Why are people doing these things? And why do we have to do these things? And because it's very important to them, it's very important to me as well. And so it caused me at an early age, because I was a young, the apostle allowed me to be a Sunday school teacher at an early age. And I was able to, it was provoking for me to really read my Bible with that why in mind, so that I could answer all the questions when they ask. And if you have some questions today, I hope that I was able to answer, because I'm going to break it down, because this is one of my favorites. Anybody know what the theme for this year is? Oh, go ahead and say it. Fully present. Pastor Linda had been putting out this year. I thought they were really awesome, and I wanted to piggyback on all of them, but God was like, this is what I want you to speak about, and so that I'm confident that I'm in the right vein. So I want you to consider that in the back. But today I want to talk to you guys about wheat versus tares. And this is a very familiar scripture to some of you, and for some of you guys who have never read this parable, I definitely want to, I'm excited to bring it to you in this sense. So in this scripture, Matthew, he talks about this parable of the wheat and the tares. One of the several parables that Jesus told his disciples about, and not only the disciples, but the crowd, about the kingdom of heaven, what the kingdom of heaven is like. And he made it so plain and so simple. And in this parable, the man, as I read to you before, the man, he represented Jesus in this parable. Amen. Sower of good seed, and the seed were us. We are his people. In the field, those who have not the harvest, which is the end times. And at which time the tares were gathered first, and then the wheat was harvested and taken into the barn. Those who reigned with him was the ones that represented those who are taken to the barn. And as you continue to read, if you read verse 37 through 43, you will find out that Jesus explains all this. He wants to make it plain so that there is no doubt that this is what this means, this is what that means, so that you won't be baffled about what does that mean, or who am I? Am I the seed? Am I the servant? Am I the man? Am I the barn? He breaks it down so that there will be no second guesses. You are the seed, and you are the wheat, and that you are required to be fruitful unless he wouldn't have planted you anyway, right? So he wanted me to share this with you. So while wheat and tares, and the weed specifically, and you guys can pull it up if you have that available, this weed that we are talking about today is called darnel. So many hundreds of thousands of types of weeds, but this particularly, type of weed that we're referring to in this passage of scripture is called the darnel weed, if no one's ever told you. You guys have that picture? Oh, moving on. If it pops up, amen. Darnel weed, and a lot of weeds, what you'll come to find is a lot of weeds mimic some of the fruitful things that we have out into this world. And so it is specifically made to deceive. And I think it's important for you guys to know, if I can throw this out there now, is that the devil has a plan just like God has a plan. He has a plan to deceive us. He has a plan to take us out. He has a plan to distract us, to turn us away from our appointment with God and doing the things that is purposeful for us, that we were purposed here to do. Amen. So while this darnel weed, we can recognize the difference, especially what I was looking at, especially when ripened. They say that the wheat, when it, in its heaviness, when it's fully ripe, it folds over. But the darnel weed sticks straight up. And so that is how easily that you could tell, which is really well. It's really well. So that the tree you will know by the fruit it bears. And two other things I wanted to share, that the darnel weed is poisonous to livestock. So it was very important to have those things separated. So I'm building a little thing for you here. And then also, if you were a human and you just so haphazardly ate this darnel weed thinking that it was wheat, you know what would happen? It would cause nausea. It would cause vomiting and dizziness, gives you off balance and all these things if you're eating the wrong seed. Or unripened, or the weed. Amen? All right. And so here's where the kids came in. They helped me with this sermon. Why plant at night? Why would the enemy come and plant at night? Great. Oh, go ahead. You want to answer, JJ? Go ahead. Help me out here. Everybody's sleeping. There's nobody watching. So it was easy to creep in. And I consider that as you are a seed, that what will come in at night. I think there's a scripture that says men love darkness. Anybody hear that scripture? Why is that? Men love darkness because their deeds are evil. That's what the word says. Hardly visible, risk of frost, difficult to water all at night, difficult to water. And so what do we know about weeds? And the reason why I wanted to give you a good foundation about weeds, because I want you to know that in this world that we have wheat and we have weeds. And we are pretty confident that we wheat, right? Would you say that you wheat? Can you raise your hand? Who's wheat in here? I see wheat. Yes, wheat. Excuse, that's the cold talking. Well, I know it's everybody didn't raise their hand. It wasn't a trick question. I wasn't trying to get you, but it's okay. So I'm going to give you some characteristics of weeds, so that you know if you feel something in this characteristics that you fit in line with, you can make that change on today.
All right.
What do we know about weeds? Consider this a self evaluation. Aggressive growth. What are the dangers for growing too fast? That's good. I was thinking to myself, I was growing up in the military, and there were some guys that would move up the chain real, real fast and not develop any leadership, and it did not do well for the work center. It did not do well for the command. When you have grown up and you have not taken the steps to develop your leadership, when you grow up too fast, even in the house of God that you have, and I know I was one of those. I had so much zeal. I wanted everybody to be saved. I wanted everybody to know about Jesus Christ. And if they would not accept it, they go to hell. How dare they reject me when I'm giving them the word of God? No leadership, because I didn't get a time to develop and to understand what grace is and mercy. And especially in a passage like this, when he says, let the wheat that tares grow together. Why would I want to let them grow together? Let's top them up right now. Let's take the weeds out. And he had to let me know that I didn't know what the weeds look like. I don't even know what weeds look like. They look exactly the same until they are ripened. Another attribute of a weed, seed dormancy. So what that means is long-term survival of a buried seed. And how does that apply to our life? Things that we thought that we got out of our life, Tillman? It was just waiting for its time. I was looking for a time when I'm going to be a little weak, David, and I was arguing with my wife, and I'm just fed up with everybody, or Mrs. Michelle got on my nerves today, so I'm not going to come to church for a couple of days, and then that dormant seed comes alive, whether it be in a form of hatred, whether it be in a form of being petty, whatever that is. Number three is that the presence of vegetation reproductive structures, which means that it's going to look like fruit. That means that I can say the lingo, blessed and highly favored of the Lord. That's my terminology when I come into church, but when you see me at work, will it be the same? God is so good that he blessed me on my taxes, but I cheated on them. We may look like fruit, and we may look like we got it going on, and God is highly favored in our lives, but is the fruit really producing? Because it shows. Number four, the ability to occupy sites disturbed by humans to grow in a wide range of soils and adverse conditions, which I thought was pretty amazing, because I remember as a child, somebody gave me some pumpkin seeds, and I was super excited. You know, we are kids. Our imagination is so awesome. So I was planting these pumpkin seeds, which they were the ones that you chew on, so they were not plantable. And I put them in the sand on the curb where the grass stopped growing. I put it in the sand because I was like, these are pumpkin seeds. I think it'll be great for these pumpkins to grow on the outskirts of my whole lawn. And I took my time that day, and I planted all these pumpkin seeds, and nothing came up. But not so for the enemy's trials. The things that enemies want to place in your life, they will be dormant, and they will grow in places that you think they will not be. They may grow in relationships, and they may grow at your job. They may grow in your church. Don't say that, Sam. You telling me that he can have some dormancy of things that in the church that may look like it? It happens. Number five is competition with other plants for light, water, nutrients, and space. So as the master of the house, or say the man who is planting the seeds of wheat, he absolutely knew that the weeds that were growing up among them, that the enemy planted, right? Yes. He absolutely knew that they will be competing for the nutrients. They will be competing for the light and the water. Why, fellacy, in God's green earth, why you would allow these things that will become trials or distractions in our life or come to be a combatant in our life, why allow them to grow, Brother Phil, when you know these things, God? God already knows these things. Why would he allow these things to grow? I think you know the answer already. Number six, resistant to controlled measures. And so first thing I thought about, I don't know if it's about you, but resistant to control measures is that when you are planting a garden, you are planting it and you put things around that garden to make, what is that called? Some type of border, fence, whatever, you know, chicken wire, whatever that is a controlled measure. And why are we controlling those things? Why are we putting those things around us, Brother Phil? Keep those critters out. And so they are resistant to controlled measure. Now, I don't know about you and your childhood, and maybe you do it as an adult. I'm not going to judge. But you guys remember the dandelions? Yes. And I did not realize that those dandelions, and I was making wishes on them, and I was blowing them. Now, and I was the one that had to cut the grass, and I was wondering why these dandelions were growing in my yard. And they would grow up the next day. I thought it was impossible, but they would grow the next day. And I'm just like, oh, man, after I get done or before I cut my grass, I would grab me another one and I would blow those seeds all over my lawn because it was so beautiful and it was magical. And I watched a lot of Disney and I know this is one of those magical things. But I'm just helping the weed to spread. Number seven, it says it has a short growing and flowering cycle during which they produce an abundance of seeds. And how we are, and we help the dandelions, am I right? Yeah. It may be a nice wind that do it, but sometimes it was me. And it never fails that when I see a dandelion and there's a kid around, to tell you, guess what? It's about to be picked up and blown. So how do we move forward? Despite what you have just learned that I have shared with you, I also want to remind you of a couple things. He knew God, he knew that we could handle growing up with tares. I'm going to say this for me because I got some thick layers of skin. So he knew that we could handle growing up with tares. So think about the things, the struggles and the things that you had in your life and the things that you didn't know that you could make it through. He knew that we could handle growing up with tares for a season. And number two, he knew what was sowed far more than what the enemy had sowed, because the enemy only had a night. But when God planted, he knew exactly how many seeds was planted, and he knew far more the production or the reproduction of the fruit that was going to come from that seed. You guys ever heard it say that if you plant an apple tree or you plant a seed for an apple tree, you will have an infinite amount of apples that will grow season after season after season. And him knowing that, when I think about the trials in just my life, I don't know about your life, when I think about the trials in my life and I began, when I showed, I found myself on my knees saying, God, I can't take this, or this is too much for me. He had absolutely had the confidence. And what I love about it, Elder Johnny, is that he was not worried. He was not worried about the tares, not from the beginning, not from the end. And when he said that, allow these to grow together, he was not worried how I was going to respond. He has a flawless reputation of how he takes care of me. You understand? So that when he knew what was inside of me, when he placed the tares or he allowed the tares to come in, that he knew that I was going to be able to make it, that I would be able to endure. So when you have that mindset that this is too much, when you have that mindset like I can't take it anymore and ain't nobody helping me and I'm the only one who is going through this, that's a lie from the devil. I hear it all the time. I'm the only one who has been through this. You are not the first. You have never been the first to experience death. You have never been the first to experience pain. You have never been the first to experience ailment, long-term ailment, short-term ailment. You've not been the first to have been left at the left in a relationship. You have never been the first to be rejected by job after job. You are not the first to have been fired from a job. You have not been the first to experience tears in your life. And this is the mercy. If you, as reading the scripture at the end of it, it says that he wants to, when it was time for harvest, he said to take the weeds or the tares and take these weeds, bundle them up and burn them up. Now what's left? It's the wheat. The wheat is left. Why? Why particularly did he allow the enemy to be burned up first? So that we can, why is that? Anybody know? It's okay. You don't want to answer. It's not a trick question. He wanted to assure you that what he said he was going to do was going to happen. There was this beautiful passage of scripture in Psalm 73. I'm not going to go there myself. This is a psalm of Asaph. Asaph was a worshiper. He was a psalmist. And, so, and Asaph, he felt like a little bit like us. And I can't really speak for you. I can only speak for me. And Asaph began, and if you don't mind, let me just read that because it is such a beautiful passage. And I want to bring that out. And that's in Psalm 73, if somebody missed that. Truly. I want to see if you can hear yourself in this passage. If you ever talk to God like this. It says, truly God is good to Israel. To such as are of clean heart. Yes. Trying to walk my way. I'm trying to walk this word out. But as for me, my feet almost was gone. My steps, I almost slipped up. I almost said something that I wasn't supposed to say. And sometimes it's hard for me. But for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. These tares, they look prosperous. These tares look like they're getting the nutrients and they're getting the water and they're getting the soil that they need and the sunlight that they need. And it says, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like the other men. Therefore, pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than their hearts could wish for. Yeah. Struggling to pay my tithes, and these guys are just bawling out. Got the nicest cars and stay clean all the time. They are corrupt. They speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouths against the heavens. Their tongue, and they walketh through the earth. They, therefore, his people return hither, and waters full of cup and are wrung out, and they say, how do God know? And the knowledge in the Most High. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world, and they increase in riches. And the verse 13 says, verily I say, I have cleansed my heart in vain, washed my hands in innocence. For all the day long, I have been plagued and chastised every morning, struggling to get up to do my devotion, trying my hardest to be an example in the community, doing my best to stick close and make sure that I read my word, and I want to fast on a regular basis, and I'm doing everything that I think I'm supposed to be doing so that you would be pleased, but all I see is evil in this world looking successful. Now, I'm not going to read all of it. I'm just going to go back. I'm going to fast forward because you can read it all. And so going to the, yes, sir, thank you. And so going to 16, I was going to the 17, but 16 says, when I thought I knew this, it was too painful for me.
Come on.
To the point where doing everything that I'm supposed to do, and I am just so tired. I'm tired of setting an example. I'm tired of living this life and people not appreciating me, my walk.
Come on, preacher.
The 17th verse says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Surely thou set them on a slippery place. Thou castest them down into destruction. How they brought in desolation as in a moment, as they utterly are consumed with terrors. As I dream, when one awakes, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was a beast before them. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee, that thou hast holding me by thy right hand. And I'll tell you, the Psalm 73, and I'm not going to read anymore. I want you to go home and finish that for yourself. How beautiful it is to understand that when God has made it most assuredly that evil will not sustain.
That's right.
And that you will sustain. And there will be some times when it will not be easy.
That's right.
And there will be some times when it feels like that they're winning.
Come on, Jesus.
That the trials of life is coming too hard for us. And man, they are draining me, Devontae. I just need a little light from you, Lord. I need a little water from you, Lord. I need a little nutrients from your soil. And these tears are choking it up, choking me out. And if I could present to you, that battle is in the roots, deep down inside. The fight for survival is in the roots. While they are trying to take from you, this is that battle that no one else sees. Underground, that he wants to take from you, and then when you call out and tell somebody, they don't see it. Because that battle is just between you and them. But I'm just so glad that that battle is not ours. It's the Lord's. I'm reminded when he says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's a battle for him to fight for us. It's hard to stand still, I know. It's hard to stand still and let God fight our battles. I remember the song, if I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles, victory shall be mine. But God, if you need somebody, let me just get in there for one, a couple of rounds. If you just need me, I know how to swing a sword. If you need me, but if I just hold my peace, do what he told me to do, and let the Lord fight my battles. It's an assurance that the wicked will be punished in the fire. Do not envy them. In conclusion, if you have found yourself, let us stand. If you have found yourself with some weed-like characteristics, I know that as I was preparing it, I found myself there. So if you find yourself with those characteristics, you are not alone. If you have stopped growing, stopped moving forward, or stopped building because you are feeling choked out by the weeds of life, you're not alone. If you're now just realizing that you have been planted and you are ready to produce what he has placed inside you, the harvest, and reproduce yourself, I think that's very important as well. I ask you to come to the altar. The altar is always open. You don't have to wait to the beginning of the service or the end of the service. The altar is always open. That we are standing ready. We are standing here by. We have the elders and the ministers and the pastors. We are ready to pray with you and to encourage you and to keep you encouraged and on your way, that you would get what you need on today. The altar is open. And for those of you guys that are looking for salvation on today, that you have heard something in the message that would desire, that you have a desire to get to know your Father and reconcile with Him, I ask you also to come. Or maybe that you have been living somewhere in between, thinking that I am not wheat and I'm not weeds, but you got to choose a side. And if you want to rededicate your life because you have been